Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. If you have young people in your life, you have likely heard of something called Roblox. It's an online gaming platform that many kids are spending a lot of their time on. This platform, it does a bunch of things, but one of the things, it lets you buy Robux, which is a digital currency that allows you to make in-game purchases. Now, parents, many of them are left wondering whether they should give their kids a traditional cash allowance like we've done for decades, or pay in virtual currency instead. If you choose the latter, how do you make sure your kids are still learning the value of money? Karen Holland has some opinions on this topic. She is the founder of Gifting Sense, an organization that teaches children how to think before they buy. She's in New York City. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
There was this article in the Wall Street Journal. What was the essence of the article?
Well, the article's original headline was that kids don't want money anymore. Now, of course, this caught my attention because that's not at all what I observe. And I've been volunteer teaching kids how to think before they buy for over 7 years now. So I immediately wrote to Sarah Needleman, who is the article's author, and to her credit and the Wall Street Journal's credit, by about 2 o'clock that afternoon, they changed the headline to a much more representative, kids don't want cash anymore.
Right.
So the good news is there's something to the whole see something, say something adage. You know, I saw something that struck me as super misleading. I said something in a very respectful way, and the author responded. So to me, this is society working.
What did you take away from both the article and from what you see with young people in terms of this trend towards virtual currency?
Well, more representative headline aside, the content of the piece is still troubling because what it really gives voice to is that children are savvy enough, school-age children are savvy enough to request their allowance in a form that allows for spending in the easiest way possible. And I'm sorry to say, you know, ease for parents aside, this really is not helpful to the kids or the parents in the long run.
Why?
Because I understand that parents might be thinking to themselves, okay, online banking and digital payment systems, they're the way of the world. That's observable. What is also observable, I'm in a position to observe this quite closely, is that school-age children very often, you know, I'll say most of the time, have no idea how much money is actually required to make a purchase, nor how much they're likely to use or appreciate an item or experience before they buy it. And in-game purchases of virtual merchandise worsens this dynamic, does not improve it in any way, shape, or form.
And certainly this is consistent with what all the literature says about using a credit card versus paying with cash. A credit card anesthetizes the pain, I'm sure, in much the same way as spending a virtual currency does.
Well, you know, exactly, Bruce. Spending is so frictionless today. You know, when you and I were growing up, if we went into a store and something was $10 and we had $5, we went home empty-handed because you couldn't text your mom. She couldn't Venmo you. You couldn't use Apple Pay. Like there was none of this, right? Shoplifting was frowned upon. And what's happening is children are really confusing payment methods, how you pay for something with how they're funded, which is by working at a job to earn wages. You know, I often ask kids, where does money come from? And depending upon their age and stage, we get some, you know, really fantastical answers. Now, the point of that question is to guide them back to the correct response, which, because they're not yet adult income earners, is that money comes from their parents working hard to earn it. And then we continue. But, you know, if you look at Robux, okay, it's an in-game currency purchased at a steep discount to the face value. So what I mean here is that for, say, example, 30 actual dollars, you can purchase something like $2,400 worth of Robux. So, you know, this only serves to exacerbate this illusion of a magical world where, it's just not that hard to spend less than you make.
You are grounded in reality, that it characterizes your work. And the reality is kids want to be able to buy in this way and spend their, even if their allowance is delivered on a piece of paper in a $5 bill, they may want to convert that into Robux. How do you do that in the best possible way, knowing that this is how kids sometimes want to spend their money?
Okay, I know it takes more time, but it doesn't take that much time. And all parents that I come across want to help their children develop productive money personalities. The technical description is money scripts. Exploring Vlad Klontz's work on money scripts is super worthwhile, but I call them money personalities just to make it more accessible for parents and kids. So in order to do that, they really need to create circumstances under which spending in-game currency is only a side dish to earning and spending allowance versus the main course.
Does that mean that a kid should be encouraged to spend some of their physical allowance at the 7-Eleven?
Well, I mean, I always prefer spending actual dollars on actual stuff, because I just think that the way to get better at real life is to practice real life. I know, though, that kids want Robux. I had a girl in workshop yesterday who shared that she received a stuffed unicorn for her birthday and she'd really wanted Robux. So if you're going to give them Robux, there needs to be a conversation exploring the difference between the purchasing power of actual dollars and the purchasing power of these in-game currencies, and how that difference is actually magnified by the fact that in-game accessory prices also have no reality on planet Earth. When you think about the family highlighted in that article, they had 10 and 12-year-old daughters who purchased, I think it was a Gucci jacket and a Louis Vuitton purse for their avatars for something like 5 Robux. So of course, you know, that's not real life, right? I mean, a Louis Vuitton purse in real life, not even a fancy one, costs $2,000, which for most of today's school-age children represents their entire take-home pay for 1 month when they first become adult
income. So what you're pointing to is there's two layers here. One is the distortion of what a Gucci product costs on Roblox versus in the real world. And second, the disconnect between the piece of paper that someone earned by shoveling a driveway and the way that that money is spent online. Is that an accurate characterization?
Yes, we need to work hard to make things as tangible for kids as possible. I think one of the reasons that parents struggle with, well, you know, how bad really is it? One of the parents in the article says, well, what's the difference between letting him buy a skin for his avatar in Fortnite and a toy? You know, the thing is, toys break. I mean, you can become dissatisfied with a skin. But again, it's just, to me, it's not really, I guess at a minimum, let's not call it helping them get better with money. Let's just call it giving them a toy then. Right. This idea that, you know, they're saying that making these in-game purchases is a way to develop any sort of financial skill, I just don't buy it.
Karen, just before we go here, where we originally connected was on your DIMS score. Tell people where they can find it and the essence of how it works.
Okay, well, they can find everything they need to know at giftingsense.org. There's a teacher tab where we've given teachers everywhere everything they need to conduct their own workshop on thinking before buying for their own students in their own classroom. Parents, though, are also fully capable of teaching their kids how to think before they buy. I'm forever telling parents, not only dentists teach their kids to brush their teeth. And all they have to do is go to the website and click on Get Your DIMS score now. DIMS stands for Does It Make Sense score. It's a number between 1 and 10 that's automatically generated when kids answer questions on a digital worksheet about a possible purchase. And it helps them understand A, how much money is actually required to make the purchase, and B, how much they're likely to really use or appreciate an item or experience before they buy it. What we observe every week is that when we give kids a tool that lets them quickly, but not arbitrarily, assess how much money's involved and whether or not they'll use or appreciate something, guess what? They make really good decisions.
What?
But they need the tool. Yes, they do. They stop themselves. You know, February's coming. You watch. We're going to be calculating the DIM score for Super Bowl tickets until the cows come home.
Oh,
halfway through, they want to stop. Because the minute they understand that this is a thousands of dollar exercise going to the Super Bowl, they already know it doesn't make sense, but they needed those questions to be asked and answered to come to that determination.
Genius. Karen, thank you for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure, Bruce. Keep up the good work.
Karen Holland's the founder of Gifting Sense at giftingsense.org. And she was here to talk about some of the dynamics that are so hard for parents to navigate these days, including Roblox and Robux, digital currencies, in-game purchases.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.